You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1, powered by Rust-Oleum, home of trusted quality and powerful solutions since 1921. From fabric paint to roof repair, epoxy floor coatings, rust-fighting paint, and more, Rust-Oleum has a solution for every challenge.
Al's brother is all over the text chain because the Netherlands won this afternoon. Yeah, he's being a hero. Listen, credit to Al's brother. He told the O-Dog, Team Al-Dog, to take the Netherlands and... they win this afternoon. They're through to the last 16.
Also proceeded to say that a guy on the team that wasn't on the team is healthy and got destroyed for it.
Right. Yes. And that guy is Belgian, and he played and scored earlier this afternoon. But it's all good. Al's brother knows what's up. Right?
Yeah.
He knows what's up.
He got destroyed on Twitter. Like that. Our metrics
exploded. And he knew the best was he knew it was coming. He's like, guys... I said a guy for the Netherlands was healthy, but he doesn't play for the Netherlands. Right after that, somebody sent me a tweet. Don't listen to the guy, Al's brother. That guy that he just mentioned is not even on the team.
And he said there was some other team that had won a championship and they'd never won. And like it was a collection. Like it was almost, he was Trump at the podium. That's what it was. He was just literally.
He had the Sharpie out and he was drawing a line in the storm area that just wasn't there.
Things were moving around for Al's brother, but in the end, who has Belgium? Was that you, Noodles? I don't remember who took who.
Yeah, I've got Belgium.
Okay,
I've got
so you're
Portugal,
good.
Hungary, and Spain.
Yeah, you're in a good spot. You're in a pretty good spot. So I don't know where my team is at. Germany lost. I have England and Scotland, and they're playing tomorrow. And that is going to be a – there's going to be brawls, man. Like, those two countries and those two teams.
How drunk are people going to be, whether in those countries, in Toronto outdoor pubs? Like, it will be a slosh fest.
It's hilarious. My neighbor's English, and I saw him earlier this afternoon. He's like, you watching the match tomorrow? I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll be rooting for Scotland. He was, like, kind of rattled. He was playing it off like he wasn't. But he was like, oh, really? Why is that? Like, explain yourself. Why would you be rooting for Scotland?
They hate each other, don't they?
Yeah.
Like the English and the Scottish.
Oh, yeah. There's some deep-rooted history there between those two countries. So that'll be a fun match tomorrow. And listen, it's just good to have the Euros going, man. We got that going. We've got Stanley Cup playoffs going. Your boys, Brooklyn and Milwaukee, playing tonight. And the Jays are trying to salvage a win. They got to get at least one out of this Yankees series.
What's going on there? The Jays.
Chicken
like
strips.
Just,
was
chicken strips got himself.
He had the sauces flip flopping yesterday. And I don't understand what, like, we'll get to the game and the specifics of it, but, like, when I watched the play, panic, he didn't really need to barehand the ball. It's like he had some more time. But who cares if Stripsy decides to tear a chicken strip off of Joey Panic? Like, he just said to him, like, what are you doing? Like, it's the big leagues. Are you not allowed to say to your teammate, like, what the hell are you doing there?
I know. He showed him up, though. That's like a goaltender throwing his arms in the air when it goes off his defenseman or something. I didn't like it, but I loved the fact that he right away was like, I need to be better. I'm sorry. He disarmed people with the truth. I loved it. I had no problem because I immediately was like, yeah, people make mistakes. They get hot-headed. It happens.
Every sport has a different set of unwritten rules, and that's the truth. In baseball, you don't do it. In football, you do it all the time. Tom Brady berates his offensive line every single game. In hockey, it happens all the time. Defensemen yelling at the forwards to circle back, you know, circle lower. Guys on the bench yelling and screaming. Fights in practice. It happens all the time. In baseball, it doesn't happen. And Chicken Strips knew it. He's also got a 4.64 ERA. It's not like he's Nolan Ryan in his prime. So relax, Chicken Strips. We'll get into that more in the next hour. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2 all afternoon. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Pro Bowl starting quarterback for the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, in about 10 minutes. And he's going to be at the game tonight. He's throwing out the ceremonial first pitch, which I don't think he's put a second's thought into. He's probably going to throw a strike. But we got to ask him, you know, why take on this challenge? Because we've been talking about this for years on this show. There are two options. You do what you're supposed to do, and no one pays attention and no one cares. or right. you're on the blooper reel for the next 50 years.
You go 50 Cent.
You go Carly 50 Rae Cent. Didn't Carly Rae Jepsen had a tough one? Who else? Yes.
There was a dude in Boston that hit a camera guy right in the pills. Like, he threw it 30 feet right of the home plate, and it hit a guy with a camera right in the beans.
Yeah. It's nerve-wracking. I would never
really
do it. I would
dude,
never
come
do it.
Come on. It's not nerve-wracking. You throw it a is. Ball to a guy with a glove. If you have any athletic ability, like, what is so nerve-wracking about that? I threw a first pitch out at the Durham Bulls game, and I threw a curveball, a hanging curveball down the middle.
A hanging curveball. In your mind, you
just
thought it was
like
95,
Chicken
too.
Strips did last night. He had the full top-to-bottom curve working, but then I kept watching Stripsy, and he was staying in the game rather late, Hazy B.
Yeah, he was. Listen, that's the desperation.
Why do you think that is?
Because of the bullpen, and then Dolis comes out. What did Dolis throw? Four balls? And then he said he couldn't feel the ball, which that's not a good report. Like, when the manager comes out afterwards and goes, yeah, the issue with Dolis is that he had no feeling in his hand, he couldn't feel the ball, I would suggest that could be a little bit of an ominous report. So who knows what's going to happen with Dolis. But the bullpen wasn't the issue last night. Thornton and Murphy came in and were fine. It was Chicken Strips who gave them enough. You know, and you have to be realistic with what Ross Stripling is going to bring anyway.
Chicken Strips went toe-to-toe with Gerrit Cole last night.
Toe-to-toe is rich, but
what do you mean it was rich? It was like a one-run game.
Yeah,
into the sixth. He was mowing him down. He retired 12 guys in a row
enough.
At one point.
He only gave up two earned. He did, actually. He matched.
He went toe-to-toe with Gerrit Cole.
He did go toe-to-toe with Gerrit Cole. I'll grant you that. I can't argue that. He gave up two earned.
Yes.
You know, so, yes, quality stuff from Chicken Strips, but they still lost the game in the end. And Vladdy Guerrero Jr. makes – that's a big blunder. Like, that's a big blunder in the ninth. He jumped. He got too aggressive. I don't know if he was reading the ball off the bat properly or what. But you credit the Yankees as well. You know, they made the play. Chapman made the play. Sanchez made the play. And it looked to me like he may have been safe, but it's a 50-50 call. They called out live, so you're out. And there's not much more you can say other than that. He's a young kid that made a mistake.
Yeah.
Weren't you tweeting about like a modified like replay or something like that?
Well, this is why I probably should not have even said anything, because I have made my bed when it comes to replay. I hate replay. I wish we could abolish it across the board. I have no time for it. But if you're going to use it, then use it consistently and properly. And it occurred to me last night that that looked like a really quick review. Now, that's my own internal clock. It may have been an appropriately timed review, but if you're going to review the process, it looked to me like they looked at it once, quick peek, and said, nah, you're out. Like, we'll stick to it. And then, you know, because there have been other times where they review plays and it takes them 10 minutes to review it because they're breaking it down pixel by pixel. Didn't get the impression like Vladdy got the benefit of the doubt on that last night. And one of the stories after the game from a lot of fans was, is that a scenario where Montoya has to come out and lose it and get tossed?
Really? Like, it's not the 80s, man. You really need
value
a guy to go throwing spit in a guy's face and acting like a hero. What the hell's the sense?
Well, I think it's more – it's the optics. It doesn't change anything, but it's like get a little bit – because even then Gurriel, he didn't foul that ball off. Like, he didn't. He didn't touch the ball. It's an understandable miss by the ump, especially behind the plate. I mean, that thing's coming at you 100 miles an hour. You're just trying to get out of the way. But then Montoya just moseys out there again and is like, what do you think? Oh, really? Okay, see you later, guys. Like, every
once
in a while.
You think he's too nice? You want some bite from him? Because the day before, he swore in his press conference that you want him to carry that over, so that emotion. You want Chicken Strips emotion on the mound.
I do.
Him yelling at players. And
with the total understanding and acceptance that it will do nothing to change the outcome of the game.
So back to Chicken Strips, you thought it was unacceptable, his outrage towards Joey Panic?
Based on the unwritten rules in baseball, Chicken Strips would tell you that. This guy did the mea culpa for 15 minutes after the game, had to talk to his team, went up to Panic in the dugout, went up to Panic after the game. Stripling knew that he did him wrong. He did him dirty. Panic rushed the play.
Hit him dirty.
Bit of a hero call. Dude, you're looking at it from a hockey player standpoint. Hockey and football, that's what happens. All basketball, LeBron will, you know, the superstars on teams will tune up. Kyle Lowry tunes up his teammates from time to time if you make a mistake or whatever.
Dude, these guys make millions of dollars to be the best baseball players on the earth. I watched the play. Was he supposed to go over to Rick Panic and go, good try, bud, next time. Get him
just
next time.
Chew it. Eat it. Like, you're mad. You're upset. But guess what? Chicken strips is going to get blown up in the next two or three starts. I mean, honestly, a pitching machine type of outing where this guy is going to hang every slider, every curveball, miss his spots, and get rocked. Should Panic light him up?
Right.
Because that's the whole point. Should it go both ways? Do you want a team operating that way that when Stripling gets rocked, Panic's sitting there shaking his head that this guy's a goon on the mound? And looking at Montoya saying, get him out because he sucks.
Interesting perspective from the prolific head shaker himself.
Unwritten rules in radio and TV is you do it.
You are chicken strips.
Yeah. No, Hazy B strips. Hazy B strips.
I'm Tom Brady. And you're the offensive line.
No, you're Hazy B strips. You're not chicken strips. You're Hazy B strips.
You're the offensive line, and I'm number 12, TB12.
No, you're not. I look at it, I think you're talking about basketball. That's a smaller team too, right? Like that you know, baseball's got like guys that I bet you there's guys on that roster they barely even talk or see each other. Like football's the same thing. Now football, TB12 gives it to his offensive linemen. Those guys save his life every day.
And Noodles, you know from being in net, and we've watched Henrik Lundqvist do it like 4 or 5 years ago.
That.
Where he was like a serial, like...
The laser beams.
The laser
beam. Habitual head shaker.
And it's like that. When he stinks the joint out, it's like the, like you said, Hayes, because there's all different kinds of elements to this. The player's got to go up and give him the traditional tap on the pad. Don't worry about it, pal. Get him next time. Get him next time. Okay, well, why are you giving me eyeballs when I lose my guy in the corner and he rips one under the bar? So, I don't know. I gained a lot of respect for Strips last night. He's a favorite. He's a favorite of the show. And I just like the emotion. He's like, come on, man. Like, we're battling against the Yankees. We got a good crowd cooking.
They had a terrible crowd last night. It was a pro-Yankees crowd.
Dude, who cares? There's people there. Strips was dialed in. He was going toe-to-toe with Gerry Cole. And all of a sudden, Rick Panic doesn't get it done.
I could see the emotion, but I liked his reaction after going, hey, I screwed up here. I apologize. I need to be better. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Move on. Like, that's emotion. Like, I had no problem. Rick Panic makes the mistake. You're upset. you bang the grass. Yeah, you showed him up a little bit, but that was his raw emotion. He was in the game. But I also like the fact that he was like, I need to be better. I'm sorry. He went to Rick Panic. He also went to the team and was like, guys, that's on me. You know, because I know exactly, to your point, Brian, in the next one or two, three starts, I'm going to be a gas can out there.
Yep.
And I'm going to see the head shakes from the bullpen.
Well, hopefully that doesn't happen. You know, hopefully his teammates are like, listen, it happens. That's baseball. It's a game of mistakes. I mean, every sport is like that, but baseball, it's even louder. You know, like if you only fail 7 out of 10 times, you're going to the Hall of Fame. You know, like you're always going to fail. You're always going to make mistakes. And Panic had a tough night at third. Like, they got a tough time at that position. I mean, that's been isolated. Biggio doesn't play it in a comfortable status. Panic, you know, that's not a guy you want in the lineup every single day. Espinal's not a guy you want in the lineup every day. They're trying to figure this out. They're 500 now. And it feels like kind of a dark cloud is hanging over them, right? Like, there's a lot of stress. It doesn't help that you're in Buffalo and it's 80% Yankee fans last night. And I'm not sure Jack Armstrong was rooting for the Jays last night. I didn't see him, and I don't know. But, you know, he grew up in Brooklyn. He grew up a Yankee fan. I feel like he would have got sucked in by that energy last night. There were a lot of Yankee fans last night, and it makes it a bit of a grind, you know. And I would expect the same thing's going to happen tonight. But you know what's going to be the main event tonight in Buffalo? As much as we love the Jays up here, and there's some Jays support down there, and there's some Yankee support, that's a Bills town. And Josh
Smashing
Allen
tables.
Runs Buffalo right now. Yeah. In a Pro Bowl season last year, going into his fourth season this year. They won a playoff game last year, right? I mean, that's what sticks out. The Bills are rocking right now, and he's throwing out the first pitch tonight. Here he is, Pro Bowler, starting quarterback with the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen. What's happening, Josh?
Nothing much. How you guys doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we're doing well, man. We were talking about this opportunity for you tonight because one of our co-hosts here
Let me interrupt.
Go ahead.
Josh, can you please explain to these two gentlemen, actually this one gentleman, that going out there on the mound and tossing the first pitch is a pretty standard thing. You just chuck it in there, correct?
I mean, it's the first time I've ever been able to do it. I pitched in high school, so I haven't touched a baseball since. So I think it's going to be a little different, but I'm going to try to put some heat behind it, and hopefully it ends up in the catcher's mitt. That's all I care about.
Yes, right. And that's what I'm saying. And you've got swag, you've got athletic ability. Chances are you're going to pull that off. But you know there's really two options tonight. You either do that, and everyone gives you the standard clap, good stuff, good to see you, or you're on a blooper reel for the next 50 years. Like you realize those are the two options tonight.
The risk-reward, honestly, for this isn't really worth it, but the chance to get in front of Bills Mafia and to have an MLB game going on in Buffalo and – You know, when's the next time the Yankees and Blue Jays are going to be playing in Buffalo? You know, this is kind of weird circumstances, but we welcome it here. You know, hopefully they can kind of maybe do this, moving forward every once in a while. I think the people of Buffalo would really appreciate that.
You mentioned Bills Mafia. Can you give us just a sense about just the craziness for the Buffalo Bills? I mean, it's a pregame like no other with jumping off cars onto tables. I mean, do you guys ever just get to take a peek and take a look at that, how crazy those fans are for you guys?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My family, they tell me all about it when they're out there tailgating. And, you know, it's something that you kind of have to see to believe. You hear all these stories, and there's no way you can believe them until you actually see these videos of people jumping off on the flaming tables. And, you know, I don't condone that. But those videos are – they're off, and they show just how much energy and excitement Bills Mafia has for the Buffalo Bills, and you know, it's the best fan base in the world, and to be able to play for this organization, I'm truly blessed.
With Josh Allen, well, you've only been there a few years, and it sure sounds like you've embraced it, man. Like you taking on this opportunity tonight, going down to the park and being there to throw out the first pitch, Jays, Yankees, like you said, you guys have just been through mini camps, the real camps right around the corner. And Buffalo is a pretty small town, and you're a big fish in a small pond. What's your lifestyle like down there, being the man? Because you were the second coming of Jim Kelly now. They've been waiting for a guy like you for a long time, and you had an outstanding year last year. Your team did. You guys won playoff games. What's life like as Josh Allen being the quarterback of the Bills in Buffalo?
I mean, you know, this is a very comfortable place for me. It reminds me a lot of my hometown. I'm a small town guy. I don't need the big city, flashing lights, all that jazz. But the people here are so good. You know, they respect, one, the football players here, but they respect each other. They care about each other here, and I feel like I fit in pretty well. So, I'm not the big, like I said, big flashy guy. I just kind of go about my business and, you know, stay at home a lot and watch a lot of TV and movies. And we recently got a puppy, so I've been hanging with her for a lot now, me and my girlfriend. So, it's awesome to be here, though. I do appreciate the fans and the hospitality and the generosity, from Bills Mafia. It's been awesome.
Yourself and Stephon Diggs went off last year. I mean, arguably the best 1-2 punch quarterback to wideout in the league. When you acquired him or when the team acquired him, I'm sure you had high expectations. I have to believe you probably exceeded those. But now the expectation will be, okay, you got to build on that somehow. And not only Diggs, but the whole offense, the way you guys perform, how do you build upon that success? And in which particular areas do you think yourself, the line, the weapons, the coaching staff feel like you can improve to take that next step?
Well, I really think it starts with me and whether it be decision-making, protecting the football, ball security, things like that. But ultimately, us gelling together, us meshing together. Just because we had the success that we had last year doesn't mean it's going to carry over into this year. So we do have a good starting base, and I do love the guys that we have, and we really care about each other, and we're going to play hard for each other. But we still got to continue to work and continue to grind. And, you know, that's what I love about this team and what this front office has done has been I've been putting guys in this building that really care about their craft and want to be the best that they can be and help bring, you know, a championship to Buffalo, hopefully in the near future.
You just mentioned championship. You're obviously one of the top young quarterbacks in the game. What was it like to sit there and watch Tom Brady as the last man standing and winning it again last year?
I've had a lot of admiration for Tom as a kid growing up. He's been one of those guys that I idled. And for him to continue to have success, you know, 20 years in the league, it's been awesome to watch. And, you know, you obviously want to win. You want to be there. You want to be in that position. But you got to tip the cap to the guy. And I know Bills Mafia is not too fond of him for what he's been, but you can't help but respect what he's done. And, you know, it's going to be, like I said, it's a new year, though, and everybody's 0-0 starting this year. So we'll see. We're excited for it. I know that. I know we get to play them, and it's always a good time playing the defending champs to kind of gauge where your team's at. So we're excited, but, you know, ultimately it's game one against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that's what we're getting ready for.
With Bills quarterback Josh Allen. So we were reading about you earlier today. Our producer was sending us some notes about how you're a big golf guy, and you'll fit in well with us hacks. I mean, we pretend like we know what we're doing out there on the course. But and our understanding is you got your offensive line all new golf clubs. What kind of shafts do you have to put on a club for a guy who's 325, like 6'7"?
I put the X100 on the irons, and I just said, get me as stiff as you can go on the driver. So they really appreciate it. But I'm so happy this year because, God, last year was pulling teeth to get guys to go golfing with me. I was constantly by myself, kind of the same crew each and every day. But this year, we've had to kind of keep it under wraps and not be too loud in the locker room and just kind of give a silent nod, like, you're coming with me today. Don't tell anybody else, because now so many people want to get out on the course, and it's a good problem to have. And I love that guys are getting out and enjoying the game of golf, because it's such an amazing game.
Where do you play down in Buffalo?
I play at Cragburn, which is in East Aurora. It's a really good track. It's really tough. The thick is unbelievable. It's got some high fescue and water everywhere. So it's a very challenging course, and it's been helping me become a better golfer, for sure.
Have you played Torrey Pines South? If so, what kind of number did you put up?
Yeah, I played it. This would have been 2 years ago with a former O-lineman here, Connor McDermott. And at that point, my golf game wasn't super fantastic. I probably shot 93, 94 on the day, but I'd like to see what I do come next time around, because I feel like my game's in a good spot right now, and I'm proud of how much progress I've made. I got a good swing coach, Wade Wilson, out in California, that we've been working on a lot of things, so it's been very helpful.
Who do you emulate yourself in your golf game after? Do you have a comparable?
No, I hit the ball pretty long off the tee. I just have a tough time comparing or keeping it in the middle. So I think off the tee it'd be near Bryson guy, but not quite as far, but I can hit it there.
Yeah, that'll do it,
Phil.
Man.
Phil off the tee.
Yeah,
that doesn't hurt my feelings. I'm a big Phil fan. I'm super happy that he won that last tournament, because he's such an amazing dude, and to do it at his age and still be competing with the young guys, he's one of the greats for sure.
Yeah, last time we checked, he was like two over. He was chopping it around earlier, but I think he got it back on the rails. So, there was a bit of a fog delay early. It's going to be a grind out at the U.S. Open. I mean, you know that, Josh. That course is playing tough, man. But we're looking forward to seeing what you got tonight. Enjoy it. It's obviously going to be a great reaction from the crowd, and the season right around the corner. So we look forward to seeing what you have once you get back into camp. And we really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, guys. You guys have a good one.
You got it. There's Josh Allen, quarterback of the Buffalo Bills.
Well, you forget how big he is. He's
monster.
6'5", 240. Like, so for him to be like, yeah, I can hit it pretty far. Like, when he said Bryson, I'm like, that's legitimate length.
I'll bet you he can hit it 300 off the tee. Like, if he's got a swing, right? He's got to have some speed behind it, but he's probably got some access to some pretty good courses, too, I would think. I don't know about many in Buffalo. I mean, there obviously would be some really good spots.
Dude, I'm telling you what, you kind of goof on small markets like Buffalo and Jersey and stuff. The guys that I know that played in Buffalo, Marty Baron, Mike Pekka. It goes on and on. They love Buffalo. There's awesome golf courses, and they all hang around there. They all stay there. Awesome golf in Buffalo. Awesome place to live, Hazy B, before you shoot your mouth off.
Believe me, I've heard that. I've heard that. And down there, you're bigger than life. And if you stick around, you're really bigger than life, you know, in a place like Buffalo. Because, you know, a lot of people are like, all right, I'm out of here. See you later. Moving on. If you become a star in Buffalo, you stick around Buffalo, it's – why not?
My understanding is there's a very big alumni that have stayed, kind of like St. Louis. St. Louis has a really big alumni, and that's kind of a hidden sports town and stuff like that. Like, I hear the same thing. Now, the people we talk to, Marty Biron, guys like that, they're biased because they live there. But it sounds like every time I've had a night out or two in Buffalo, I've always enjoyed myself.
Listen, you just have to understand what you're getting when you go to Buffalo. Like, if you think you're getting New York or L.A. or Vegas, obviously you're not.
No,
you
know, but that doesn't mean Street.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you can't find a good time. Or I'm looking forward to getting back to Buffalo. I'd love to be able to go to Buffalo today.
I'd love to do a show from Buffalo
right now. Absolutely. Grab some wings, hit a Target.
By the way, Josh Allen plays any golf course he wants to. You know that, right?
Of course he does.
Not only in
Buffalo, throughout the country. You know, outside of maybe Augusta and like Pine Valley and a couple of other spots, he'd probably get on Pine Valley, I would think.
Yeah.
Maybe
Augusta.
Dude,
anywhere.
Too.
I told you before, when I was in Carolina, I would do the fake agent call to golf courses. This is what I'd say. Hi, my name's like Jim Sterling. I'm a player agent. One of my clients, his name's Jeff O'Neill, was in town, was looking to get a tee time. And they'd be like, every time they'd be like, who? And it's just, no. But I was like, I'm not going to call and be myself. I tried to be like the agent trying to set it up, and it never worked. Never
once. You hear that all the time.
Dude, like never once did they say, yeah, come on out. We'll get you a tea time. Never.
You call a restaurant. You call a bar. You'd be like, yeah, do you have club courtesy for NHL player client of mine? Client of mine coming down. And whoever, like Jason Strudwick, they'd be like, who? And like Jamie McLennan, no, like feathers. You know what? We're pretty jammed up tonight.
Noodles, like, it's amazing how in Canada that NHLPA card would like get you into bars in Canada. You go down to Florida or something and flash that stupid card, they'd be like, get the hell out of here.
You'd be like,
get
what out. Is this? Get out of here.
What is that? That's what, a Sobeys card?
It's so
it
funny.
Doesn't even count.
No. Yeah.
And especially if you're trying to, like, if you're really trying to shoot for the stars, like, Vegas, exclusive club, night of a Tyson fight, and Strutty's trying to get in there through his agent.
Yeah, they'd be like, get the hell out of here. Like, we've got, you know, we got whoever, you name it.
Everyone
like, literally,
possible.
You know, P. Diddy's coming through, and, you know, Strutty and Noodles trying to slide in.
It's a good question as to what would be the toughest ticket to access, you know, the toughest VIP sporting event to get into, where there's certain guys that just, like, if a guy like Tom Brady calls up, LeBron calls up, they're getting anywhere they want. Like
that's right.
Anywhere
they
want.
It's not even handled by any of their fingertips.
No, of course not.
PR agent.
But like if you're just a – like let's say Austin Matthews. Matthews was at the UFC event. He got overshadowed completely because he was with Bieber. He was part of Bieber's entourage.
Like, that's right. Him and Freddie Anderson. Anderson was
Nylander there too?
I didn't see him.
I don't think so, but people were saying he was there. I didn't see him. Like Freddie – I saw Austin and Freddie – which they're allowed to do. I don't know why people were getting worked up about that. Like, is he supposed
to
sit at his house?
I didn't even notice Freddie Anderson. He was like Turtle in that group. Like where?
Yeah,
he
really was.
Oh, he's a big dude. Freddie's a big dude. He looked like he's in off-season shape right now. He looked a little bigger.
He looked like he hasn't played. He's played one game in about 3 months.
A couple months, exactly.
Yeah, of course they're going to go home. It was in Arizona. Why would you stay here? We're in lockdown. Like, if you're from the States, why would you not go home to the States? But like Matthews is a guy he'd get access to a fair amount, but there'd be a limit where it'd be like, that's for quarterbacks
or
that's
going
for
home sense. He ain't going to home sense here in Toronto. I'm telling you that right now.
That's
I mean,
impossible.
It depends on where you are too, Brian. You go to South Beach and there's a club there that's hopping. Like, you know, Matthews would probably be able to get in, but like hockey's not as big, you know, in certain markets, whereas like LeBron.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's all about the contacts you meet along the way. You got a guy exactly. in Miami. You got a guy here or there in New York.
And you're spending, right? Like Matthews can put down a right. card and probably drop 20 grand in a night, not flinch.
Yeah, not worry about it. You're right.
That's probably a
but
fact.
But the problem is if there's a bigger star, his table gets pushed farther away from the dance floor.
It's
that's
so
just
embarrassing,
how it works.
Isn't it? It's so embarrassing.
I had a connection in Vegas, and it was with Strutty. There was 12 of us, and we got the best table on the dance floor. DiCaprio was behind us, and it was because our buddy who was dialed in with the owner of that club, we had the table,
yep.
and DiCaprio was over there. It was hilarious.
It's funny you mention that because, like, oh, just mentioned Turtle in the show Entourage, where
right.
that was a part of the script at one point where, like, the guy, the bouncer came over and said, "Gotta ask you guys to move back. Leo's coming in. Like, basically, you're too close. Leo. Titanic's out. Yeah, you're a pigeon. You have to move."
And so funny.
That's Vegas in a nutshell. Like, you're a pigeon now. Like, 10 minutes ago, you were not, but now you're a pigeon. So go stand over there. If you want to stick around, you can, but standing room only. And don't talk to anybody, or we'll throw you out. It's like, okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
It's the best.
Appreciate
the best.
That. Graham DeLette in an hour. We're tracking the U.S. Open. They got off to a late start. I'm not sure they're going to get everyone's round in. Brooks Koepka's in the clubhouse at 2-under. That's a pretty good start. Pretty good start for old Brooksy. Xander Schauffele at 2-under. He's on 18. So he's okay.
He's fairly fired up, we'll call it.
He's sniffing. Yeah, he's sniffing. Your boy Matthew Wolf, he loves the U.S. Open. The guy hasn't played. He's been awful since last year's U.S. Open. But
dude, I love what he did, though, Hayes. He took a couple months off.
Yep. Said, I got to get it right.
Yeah, I got to get it right.
That's right. So we're tracking the Open. Jay's back in action tonight. We'll get into the Habs win last night. We'll come back and talk about that. Tee up game three of the Islanders and Tampa series and Brooklyn Bucks tonight, Game 6. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Graham DeLette will join us in about an hour. We're tracking the U.S. Open. Jays, Yankees back in action tonight. Game 6, Islanders, or Game 3, Islanders, Tampa tonight.
What the hell's going on here?
I'm losing sight of things because I was going to say Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Game 6 tonight. And instead, I went with the hockey one, and they're on different timelines, clearly. The Islanders and Tampa will play Game 3 tonight. And the Habs are going back to Montreal with a split. And that was mighty impressive last night, man.
Yeah,
mighty impressive. They played really well. And that's the formula for them, right? Like, low event game, get the lead, hit everything in sight, block every shot, and when in need, Carey Price does what he has to do.
And they had to get back into that series. They said it last night on SCO. Like, these guys had to show Vegas that they just weren't here representing a terrible North Division like everybody thought, and they're going to get a participation badge, and, oh, it's great to play in front of a full barn again. We're happy to be here, blah, 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 but we're going to get – I thought they were going to get smashed last night. I said it yesterday, and I got ripped on it on Twitter. I thought they're going to get crushed 5-1, and they might sneak one into Montreal, and then they go back to Vegas and get it done. But now, after that performance last night, they're looking pretty good. Like, that was an incredible performance. And what they got, regardless if you love the Habs, hate the Habs, you can't deny the fact that they got some stones. Because it took stones to go out there and play the way they did and get that win yesterday.
Well,
end of story, they got stones.
At what point do you guys go, actually, they're not that bad of a team? Because I get the sense that people think they're a crappy team that got lucky. And I don't think they are. I think they're a good team that didn't have a great regular season. And you're right, like the formula, they've stuck with it. They've won 9 games in the playoffs so far. They've tied with everyone else. Like, everyone has won 9 games in the playoffs. Like, that's the it's impressive, like, what they've done. And, you know, I seeing guys like Eric Staal, like, flying around out there last night, throwing his body around, getting involved physically, like, it's kind of neat to see because it's, you know, it's not just a young man's game, too. There's some veteran guys that are really stepping up here, not just for the Habs, but in the playoffs here.
Yeah, listen, they played really well last night. There's no dancing around it. I think they're still going to have to prove it. They're still the underdog. They're still tied 1-1. It's not like they're up 2-0 or on the verge of sweeping Vegas. but they deserve the accolades that they've received based on who they are and what they've done so far. You know, I'm not going to crown them and say all of a sudden I think they're a great team, but I think they're playing very well, and I think that they have found a formula, like I said. Like, if they score first, they're a very different team. Very different team. Right. At some point, I think if they want to win seven more games,
they got to come back.
They're going to have to come from behind, you know, down two or down three. Like, that's going to hit them in the face at some point, and we'll see if they're capable of doing that. But for them to show up and perform the way they did last night, Jeff Petry being a microcosm of the whole team.
Guy
can barely see. The guy's got, like, a dislocated finger or two or whatever the injury is. And I thought he looked really comfortable and good last night. He's got bite. You know, he played really well. Caulfield played well again. Like, he kind of did what Theodore did in game one. Like, he made Fleury bite, and that was a really nice play to Toffoli. And I thought what stood out from Vegas' standpoint was Flower looked really shaky to me all night. Like, out of position, falling.
Slippery. Fell down the one time on the puck handle. And you're right. I didn't think he had his best night. Certainly, the Toffoli goal is a bad goal. You know, even though Caulfield made a great play, that's a changeup that finds its way through the five hole. He stops that, you know, 99 out of 100 times. Unfortunately, last night he didn't. You know, the Habs had good energy, kind of like they did to start game one, but they stuck with their game plan, and they did get some. I mean, let's be honest. Price made some great saves when he needed to, and he got a little bit of luck there.
That's
he got
allowed.
A little bit of luck, too. You know, like the Martinez on the back door hits his hip and goes over the net. And, you know, like
Pacioretty hits the post. And...
Yeah, you're allowed that. But their formula has worked so far, and they've got to continue. What I was impressed with, I don't know how you guys felt, but their adjustments. Like in game one from the second period on, Vegas got speed. They had their set plays. They had the Habs. Didn't give them time and space last night. You could see that that Vegas was frustrated because everywhere they turned, there was a Montreal player all over them. And the guy who stands out for me, and I don't think he's gotten a lot of fanfare, you see how beat up Brendan Gallagher's face is? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It's on sideways. Like, his nose, and there's blood, and he's got, like, road rash on his face or whatever. He's out just battling away, and he hasn't been super productive. But he's been a battler for that.
It's been
team.
Noticeable, and that's what he is. I mean, he's a gamer. He's always in front of the net.
Right.
He's going to make Marc-Andre Fleury's life miserable, which is what he did in game one. He did it last night. That will continue in game three and four in Montreal. And I just thought, you know, the Habs, I thought their top four played really well last night. I thought that was Weber's best game that I've seen from him in quite some time. I thought he looked good. Sherratt is not a noticeable guy, but that's a good thing. Like, if he's not throwing pizzas or getting burned, then that means he's doing what he's supposed to do. And that's what the Habs have managed to do here for nine times. Nine wins is nine wins. You can put it in the bag, and it's generally the exact same game. It's, you know, they check you into the ground. They swallow you up in the neutral zone. They protect the house. They throw their body around. They'll play dirty, block shots. When in doubt, Carey Price. Like, it's not pretty, and it's not going to be pretty, and that's not going to change. Like, I didn't think they had – I didn't think Josh Anderson, again, was that noticeable. I didn't think Suzuki did a lot last night, but it doesn't matter. Like, who cares who's doing it or how you do it? You just get the job done.
You want to circle a guy that can elevate and really – like, if he can play out of his mind and get to another level, because he looked to – He looked what he was. He looked inexperienced. He looked young, but he hadn't before. And he's made good plays. But if he can crank it up and return to the way he played again that Winnipeg series, where I thought he was fantastic, it only helps their chances.
You're talking Suzuki.
Yes. I think he's an unbelievable player.
He is.
I think I think he's a special player. I just think he's never going to score 50 goals. He's not a 100-point guy. But I think, and again, this is a really tough comparison, but all I keep hearing from people is, like, this guy is a Patrice Bergeron.
That's right. He's, who's not 100 points, but in a big game, you see him out there, and noticeable.
He does so many little things as a 21-year-old where you're like, that guy's always in the right position. Like, and whether he wins a battle. The one thing that I notice about Montreal is they play with desperation. How many times do you see them dive at pucks? You know, by the blue line to get it out or whatever. Like, you know, that's showing that second effort. You know, Deno's got that. Suzuki had that a few times last night. You know, Kotkaniemi, like, those forwards have to play with that desperation every second they're on the ice. And they do it, which is impressive. And the old guys do it. Like, that Corey Perry, all that guy does is show up every night. Like,
he started that first goal. He created that first goal. Second effort behind the net, little stick check, kept the play alive, went around the boards into the net. Like, he continues to make, like, he is... I bet you off the ice he's probably a world-class guy, but my God, is he a pain in the ass out there. fake high-sticking the guy off the face-off. It's just like...
It was unbelievable what he does. Like, he's just one of those guys that you probably want on your team and hate to play against.
And, like, Jamie, he can't play anywhere else. Like, he can't play anywhere else. He can't go out there and say, I'm just going to mind my own business. He can't do it. No, and that's what he does, whether you like
hilarious.
It or not.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Yeah, no, then that's what's made him so successful. Like, he's not going to score at the rate he once did in his prime. No. I mean, this is a guy who was on Canada. This is a guy who won an MVP and scored 50. Yeah. That's how good he was 10 years ago. But that's not who he is anymore. But he's still very effective. And you know, Staal was noticeable last night, specifically going after Pietrangelo multiple times, making his life difficult. And Theodore never – you know, really got into the game in terms of impacting it from the point.
Right.
And, you know, there's going to be adjustments now. Now it's on Vegas.
Exactly.
You know, like, we'll see what they're made of, where it's still 1-1. You're still, you know, you're going to Montreal. Vegas is a veteran team, even though it's been in the league for 3 years. The players have been around for a long time. I don't think they'll be flustered. But I think if you're Montreal, really the X factor for the series may be Marc-Andre Fleury and how he handles, you know, the way he played last night. Now he's going to Montreal to play in the playoffs. Like, he grew up, a Quebec kid, French-Canadian. I don't think he'll be overwhelmed by the moment. But if you can get him on his heels, that's where you could turn this. Because I don't think there's a neutral site, home, away, whatever, that's ever going to affect Carey Price one way or the other. Like, I think Price is dialed in, and I expect him to continue to be dialed in. I don't think that's going to change. And I wouldn't put money on Fleury being anything but dialed in either because he's had such a great year. But I do think he's more unpredictable. I think, you know, if I put it this way, if I were to put money on one guy who I think is definitely going to continue to show up, it's Price. Like, I think Price will keep rolling. That doesn't mean Montreal's going to win.
We'll call it a possible question mark that being in a Canadian market, Montreal – that could maybe, I don't know, Fleury's battle tested.
He's had some playoff demons, though, man. He's had some playoff demons.
That was so long ago.
Not that long ago. Matt Murray blew past him 4 years ago. I'm not talking, you know, against Brizgalov. This guy wasn't the guy when they won the Cups 2 years in a row. Matt Murray was on the ice.
You're
was not Marc-Andre Fleury.
No, he's had a resurgent, different team, all of that stuff.
You don't think he's beyond that? You don't think
I don't know if he is. He's been great this year. Been great this year.
It was 4 or 5 years ago. I think he's proven that he's beyond that.
No, I agree.
I just think it's a negative take to just think, oh, there could be demons back.
Robin Leonard was starting games for them last year. I'm just saying that is a – if I'm in Montreal, this is what I'm thinking, is maybe we can – maybe there's a door that could open here, and it's if Fleury gets a little bit tipsy. Like, if he shows any cracks in the armor – then that's all of a sudden you might, you know, be able to take the series.
And if you're Montreal, you want that to happen, but you force that to happen by going to the net, by Josh Anderson. You know, twice last night, he was reckless going right to the net. Like, whether he made a play or not, he was like, I'm taking this frame and this speed to the net. That's what he needs to do, because if you can create some doubt in the goaltender that, hey, maybe there's a chance that he's going to run me over, I'm going to be a little bit up on the play instead of being down on it, that type of stuff, that's the game within the game. So, Brian, if that's exactly what Montreal needs to think, like, hey, Fleury didn't play great, he's coming home. Now, is it 3,500 fans? Is that what I heard? Did they?
I haven't seen anything official, but I'm expecting that there will be more than 2,500.
But let's say they get up another 1,000. But that building will still be, you know, trying to be rocking. The atmosphere outside, like, Montreal's got to find every little competitive advantage they can, and that's the game within the game. That's, you know, Nick Holden. Every time he's back there, you try and run him through the glass, because maybe. maybe he does cough one up in game five that you need. You know, that's the investment in the playoffs. And that's how Montreal has to think.
Absolutely. You know. They still need help.
They do.
I guess is my point is I give them full credit for the way they played last night. I loved their game in the first period in game one. I thought they played really, really well. But Vegas is still better. And Vegas is still the favorites. And I still think Vegas will win the series. But if it's
sure
going
got
to,
interesting, man, I'll tell
it
you
got
that
interesting.
Easy.
It got interesting. And all of a sudden, you know, you're coming home. If you're Montreal and you're tied 1-1 and you've had a lot of success in the last 3 weeks to a month, you should feel confident. There's no reason why that room should not feel confident. They absolutely should.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it doesn't matter what a blowhard like myself is saying.
No,
if you're in that room and you feel good, you should feel good.
They've got to do that. But if you even look back at their regular season, like a lot of those guys weren't even playing. Like Price, how many games did he miss this year? He missed 13 with the concussion.
Well, yeah, down the stretch, a fair amount.
Weber missed a ton. Gallagher, they shut down. Like that wasn't the team in the regular season that they – it really wanted, you know, from a health perspective even. So, you know, it's just different. And now it's past them. They don't care where they came in the regular season. They're
completely
like, hey,
irrelevant.
We're in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's completely irrelevant. And we'll see. We'll see what they have, you know, starting this weekend when they head back to Montreal. We'll catch up with Graham Dillette into the next hour. We'll look ahead to the NBA playoffs continuing tonight. And Josh Allen, first pitch, ceremonial first pitch tonight. We had him on earlier this hour, and I didn't realize he was a pitcher in high school, I believe he said. He'll be fine, man. He's going to throw smoke.
Right.
And it doesn't matter there. He's getting a huge applause if he throws that thing
King
in
of the
25th
county,
row.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Josh Allen back in Buffalo. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Tough day today down in Philly. If you're a 76ers fan, they were up 22 at the half.
Yeah.
And they blow that game. And
dude, the Hawks had the best Twitter post. They had that post of that guy that says, call an ambulance. And then he pulls out a gun and goes, but not for me.
Yeah, it's such a great little video. And the Hawks, and credit them, credit Trae Young. And it was just a complete and utter collapse.
Dude, you know, Trae Young, man, he's not just known as that little – he's becoming
he's
a real deal here, yeah.
Yep.
Like, he's not just the guy that can maybe have a big night. Same as Booker in Phoenix, man.
Right.
Like, they have come into their own. They've become superstars in this playoffs.
Superstars. Yeah, it's his team, man. That is his town down in Atlanta. And the Sixers just – they went through the process. They, you know, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, they tanked, they bottomed out, and they just cannot get over the top. Now, the series is not over. They can still redeem themselves, but last night, that is demoralizing. And how about your boy, Playoff P? Paul George went off last night. The Clippers win the game. They're down 5 at the half. I'm like, it's over. Utah's going to spank them here.
Massive, man.
Really impressive. Like, we goof on Paul George and his playoff performances. We got to show him love when he deserves it.
He kept
like,
some flies off last night.
Absolutely, he did. And they're up 3-2 going back to Staples Center. The playoff face-off presented by Lay's White Cheddar. It's time for Lay's playoff face-off. Lay's is facing off against Ruffles All-Dressed Doritos Sweet Chili Heat and Smart Food White Cheddar with their 3 new potato chip flavors available for a limited time. 2-pack, starting with the NBA playoff face-off.
Right.
KD versus Giannis tonight.
Oh.
Who and why? Who and why?
I'm gonna answer this. I'm going to pick Giannis tonight because I'm with Reggie Miller. Just take it easy and get it back to Brooklyn and then mop things up.
Look at you turning on KD.
I'm not. But we all know it's going back to Brooklyn for game 7.
I like the Bucks tonight. I kind of like the Bucks. I can't say I love them because I feel like they're going to choke this away. There's potential anyway. Giannis may get a little bit dicey down the stretch. Noodles, Islanders, Tampa tonight. Back to Nassau Coliseum. That
I
place,
don't know. I
the
it's
roof
gonna
is
going
to explode.
Rocking. I got a feeling the Islanders can do some shock the world type of stuff here tonight.
I think so too.
Yeah, that's where I'm on.
I'm leaning Isles tonight. Like the way they play, the way they perform, I think that series is probably going 7. Kind of feels like it might go 7, and I think Nassau Coliseum is just going to be going crazy. tonight. So there it is, the playoff face-off presented by Lay's White Cheddar. Ray Ferraro will join us in about 10. We'll get Ray's take on the Habs win last night. Game 3 tonight between the Isles and Tampa. Graham Dillette on the U.S. Open. Lots still to come. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1, powered by Rust-Oleum, home of trusted quality and powerful solutions since 1921. If you've got a surface to protect or a look you want to transform, home or industry, Rust-Oleum has a solution for every challenge.